Well, as Victoria faces this grim reality, the number of cases continues to rise around the world. Here's Dr. Michael Ryan, the emergencies chief for the World Health Organization.
What is a concern is the fact that the disease numbers are increasing day by day. And if you imagine that somewhere in April and May, we were dealing with 100,000 cases a day, today we're dealing with 200,000 cases a day.
The data is particularly alarming in the United States, with almost 3 million confirmed cases there now and more than 130,000 deaths. And it comes as President Donald Trump moves to formally withdraw the US from the World Health Organization. For the latest on what's happening and the response, I spoke to Professor Megan Murray, an epidemiologist and professor of global health at Harvard University. She joined me from Boston a short time ago.
There's a great deal of geographic variation in the burden of disease at the moment. So I live on the East Coast in Boston, where we've finally seen a big lull in cases. But in the South and the West, where COVID was slow to hit, we're really seeing dramatic escalation of numbers. Fortunately, the proportion of people who are actually dying is lower than it was in the past. But it's really extremely alarming to see these numbers rise, especially in states like Florida, which haven't yet really put in the restrictions that we think might be useful in curtailing the epidemic.
Yeah, I mean, while we're seeing those geographic variations, what's leading to that discrepancy, if you like, across the states?
Well, I think it was just COVID was slower to take off in the South and the West, especially the Western states. Not, you know, California is a very mobile state. But I think that there were many more introductions of COVID into the U.S. to places like New York and to California than there were to the sort of heartland, to the central part of the U.S. And so it took longer to take off. But now that it has taken off, those states hadn't put in the kind of rigorous social distancing and requirements to wear masks that some of the states that were harder hit earlier on did. And so now they're seeing a really rapid increase in cases.
In terms of that public health response, because from what we hear, there seems to be a bit of an inconsistency in the public health messaging from leaders. Some governors are very concerned. The president says the majority of cases are harmless. How is that inconsistency affecting the effort to control the spread?
Oh, it's a huge problem. I mean, we have some governors who aren't closing down the businesses at all, others who are extremely concerned and putting into place rigorous methods to control spread. So an individual who doesn't know much about how diseases spread would really have a hard time figuring out who to listen to, who to believe, what to do. And so I think that's really fed some general confusion, even chaos in some of the, you know, people who are struggling to figure out whether they should be sending their kids back to school, if the schools are going to reopen. Mm. It's really a shame that there hasn't been a consistent message that would not feed into people's doubts and anxieties.
And in terms of the severity of this, Donald Trump this week said the virus, as I say, is only harmful to 1% of the cases. Yet on our count in the US, based on those Johns Hopkins figures, the death rate's about 4.4%. How does the mortality rate in the US compare to what we're seeing globally at the moment?
It's on the high side. And one of the really intriguing aspects of COVID is that in countries where we expected to see really high death rates, we aren't seeing that. So many countries in Africa are reporting case fatality rates that are lower than in Europe or the U.S. It really varies, again, by age, but it varies geographically, and that's partly because there's different age structures in different populations. So some states, Florida, for example, has a lot of retired people who are older, and that puts that population at higher risk. There are states that have higher prevalence of comorbidities like heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, and that puts those states, people in those states, at higher risk.
And we are also seeing cases occasionally where young, seemingly healthy people you wouldn't expect to be affected by this virus are suffering severe symptoms. Has there been much research to help us understand why that is?
Yeah, people are really concerned about this. You know, I mean, again, there are places where obesity, hypertension, diabetes is high even in young people. But there's also a number of young people who are reported to be very sick who don't have those comorbidities. It's rare. And, you know, as we get to this 3 million mark, we're seeing rare events become not unexpected. You know, if you're looking at something that doesn't happen very often, but there's 3 million people to whom, you know, who are infected, then we expect to see a certain number of people who have unusual manifestations.
Just back to the global health response for a moment. President Trump has now formally notified the United Nations and Congress that the US will be withdrawing from the World Health Organization. There is a process involved, of course, but what could the ramifications of that be, particularly as the world is currently in the midst of a shared crisis?
Yeah, there could be some very serious ramifications. For one thing, the World Health Organization keeps track of what's going on in many different countries. And so the U.S. is not part of that body. They will be not the first people to get information as to what new pandemic threats are brewing in different parts of the world. There's a huge amount of expertise at the World Health Organization that is used to make decisions not only about sort of how to develop vaccines, but also how to distribute them and how to do that equitably. So I think, but I feel like it's a really very serious error to pull out of the WHO, and it could have very serious consequences.
Professor Megan Murray there from Harvard Medical School.